Kidding. Colossians. Next Tuesday? Oh, okay. So a week from yesterday is Ladies' Mission Fellowship. Next Tuesday, 6 o'clock. Colossians. I'm going to give you an overview tonight. Colossians. Really went all over the place thinking, where should we go now? Where do we go? Go to the Old Testament? Do we go to some prophecy? I don't know. So we end up in Colossians. Colossians, we're going to really cover, like I said, an overview of the book here. And if you turn to Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, you'll get the setting of this book and really the theme and the purpose. And it's going to really apply to us, apply to a church like ours. The theme is really the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And that is the superiority, the excellence, the precedence, priority, that word preeminent. You're going to see all through this book a three-letter word, A-L-L, that Jesus Christ is all this and all that and all this and all these different things here. And so let me just read these verses, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go through this book here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." All right, that's all one sentence there. That's not the longest sentence he ever wrote, but that's a long sentence. But the purpose in Paul writing to the Colossian church, he wanted to see him. He's never seen him. He wishes he could see them. And instead of being able to see them face to face and impart something to them face to face and teach them face to face, Colossians is the letter Paul would write to a church that he had never met face to face. And that's why I say it's a good letter that applies to a church like ours. We've never met Paul, but the Holy Spirit through Paul says to the Colossian church, "I would like to see you. I've never met you. And in lieu of not meeting you, here's what I want to say to you." And so this whole book, he's going to say some things to a group of people he hasn't met. And this is what he'd like to say to them. So with that in mind, I think those three verses really cover the purpose and the theme of this. You notice it at the end there, verse 3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge," talking about Jesus Christ and just all of the things that are in Jesus Christ. That's why I say the preeminence of Jesus Christ is really the theme of this whole book. But let's pray, and we'll cover an overview of it tonight, but let's pray first. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your words. I thank you for everybody that's here tonight. We pray for those that are sick or traveling. Lord, for for Josh's grandma and for his dad, both in the hospital right now. And then, Lord, for I know Stephanie just called a while ago and her unspoken, you know what it is. I pray you to address these things. I pray you to take care of family members and all that. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight, help us understand what we need to understand and get out of this letter, what we need to get out of it. You'd make application where we need to make application. And Father, that the folks here that come from work and
tired or whatever the case may be, Lord, that you'd be able to feed your flock tonight and take care of us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Colossians, this is, like I said, the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice there's a word that shows up, I don't know, maybe 20 times in here in this book. And it's the word all, A-L-L. And it describes what Jesus Christ is in several capacities. And that's what we're going to mainly go through tonight. Because I want to show you this theme, the overview, and deal with what Paul is trying to get across to a group of people that he's never met. And again, this is the letter that the Holy Spirit had Paul write to a church he had never met face to face. And so I think it has good application for a church like ours. And so let's do this. Go back to Colossians chapter 1 and notice the word all in these verses. And I'll just make a short comment on these things because there's so many of them. And I'm not going to look at all of them, but look at several of them. But just to get you an idea of what Paul's talking about here, look in verse 9. We'll start there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." You see how many times that all and every shows up? I mean, just all through there, clearly all through there. And it is all-encompassing. It is a small word that covers a lot of ground. And the idea is that in Jesus Christ, all of these things are going to be complete and perfect, and the church at Colossae would be have everything that it needs to serve God the right way, to be pleasing to God, to work the way God would have them to work in the area that God has them. And so in Jesus Christ, Paul would say it this way over in Philippians. He would say Jesus Christ is the measure of all things. He's the measurement. He is the, you know, if you wanted to have a measure, he's the yardstick. This is what you're measuring up against. They're not against, but this is what you're measuring up to, and this is what God the Father is trying to build in you. So notice all of these alls that show up in these verses. Strengthened with all might, all patience, and long-suffering with joyfulness, and all those things. Next thing, look at this. Look in verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. About Jesus Christ again. He says, "For by him were all things created." And we'll cover that when we get to that verse, but that's Jesus Christ is not, he's not just a religious, and I know I'm talking to the choir here, but Jesus Christ is not a religious leader. He's not a good teacher. And the Bible never leaves that option open to anybody. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you either believe that Jesus Christ is the creator and savior of mankind, or you believe he is an insane nut who had some magic tricks or something to get him off the cross and make him resurrect from the dead or something. But you can't believe that he is a good teacher, because good teachers don't come up from the ground after they're dead. And good teachers don't claim to be God Almighty in the flesh. So the Bible never doesn't leave you with an option of saying, yeah, I like Jesus, he was a good guy, and he's a good philosopher, and he's a good teacher. Verse 16, for by him were all things created. So when you go back to Genesis 1, and the Bible says, and God said, let there be light, you're reading about Jesus Christ speaking. Well, that's a little bit different. You know, you got the Bible with the red letter words and stuff like that. You know, you might as well just put Genesis 1 in red letter. I mean, that's what he's saying. He's talking. All right, verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Interesting. So people say, I just want to know what my purpose is in life. Well, you were created for Jesus Christ. He created you for his pleasure. That's what you're created for. Notice it again, look in verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So, over there in Hebrews, it talks about holding things together by the power of his word. So not only did Jesus Christ create, but also Jesus Christ sustains everything. All right, he's the sustainer. He holds it all together. And if there was ever a point in time where, I think it was Sam Good that said it, if there was ever a point in time where he stopped concentrating on you, you would just disappear. He holds it all together. By his word, he holds the whole thing together. So he's before all things. By him all things consist. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All right, that's going to be the theme. And that also tells you about the structure of, and we'll deal with it when we get to these verses, that's the structure of the church. He's the head of the church. The church isn't looking for another head. The church doesn't need a pope. The church doesn't need someone else. It has a head. What it needs is members. It doesn't need another head. Verse 19. And you notice these alls, A-L-L, showing up multiple times here. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All right, so it is complete. Everything is complete in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for something that is needed in life, that is something that is valuable, that is necessary for your living, it's in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're looking for something, like you said, you know, sometimes to consume it on your lust or things like that, you may not find that in Jesus Christ, but everything that pertains to life and godliness and all those things, Jesus Christ is it. He has everything. He is everything. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So he reconciles everything. So you've gone in about four verses here. Jesus Christ is the creator. Jesus Christ is the sustainer. Jesus Christ is the reason things exist. Jesus Christ is the reconciler of all things. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all things. Jesus Christ is everything. I mean, he is complete. He is preeminent in all things here. He's the reconciler. All right, reconcile. That's a good positive word on there. Reconciling, reconciliation. You also get the word reckon from that. There will come a reckoning under Jesus Christ as well. I'd rather be reconciled than reckoned. That would be good. All right, next one. All right, that's all. That's just chapter one. That's the alls in chapter one. Quite a bit there. Go to chapter 2. We'll look at a couple verses. I'm realizing if we just go through these, this may not take very long, but hopefully you'll get an overview of it anyway. chapter 2, verse, now we look in verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Jesus Christ is also the treasury department. He is where all the valuable stuff in God is located. So if you get we've used the example, but the ark is a great example of Jesus Christ, a great type of Jesus Christ. Noah gets in the ark. You remember, okay, if you don't know the story, God sends a flood on the earth. Noah builds an ark. Remember that? Noah builds an ark. God shows him how to build the ark. Noah builds the ark. And that ark survives the flood that God sends to destroy the earth, destroy the world. In that ark, what Noah and his family find are life, just like Jesus Christ. You get in Jesus Christ. God has put the full measure of his blessings in Jesus Christ. So it is simply a sinner's job to go get in Jesus Christ. And how do you do? You trust Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ. You receive Jesus Christ. Why would you do that? You understand your sin before a holy God. You understand all of the blessings are in Jesus Christ. So in this ark, there's life, there's food, there's sustenance, there is hope, there is joy that's not outside the ark. There's a lot of things that are in the ark that are a great type of Jesus Christ. And so when Paul says in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, God put all that stuff in Jesus Christ. All the spiritual blessings. He says over there in Ephesians chapter 1, I think it is. He says, all spiritual blessings in Christ. So he's all of those things. He is preeminent. All right. Look in verse 9. A great verse on the deity of Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Wow. That's all right, that's the word the Bible uses. You've heard the word Trinity probably. You know, God is a triune being, a Trinity, things like that. The Bible word, I mean the Trinity, the word's not there, the concept is there. The Bible word though is Godhead. Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Godhead. All right, verse 10 now. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So he's above all that. Notice the alls again. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. All right, so here's what Jesus Christ did years ago. Between he and God the Father and all creation and things like that. He set up thrones, he set up dominions, he set up... And when I say he sets up thrones and dominions and things like that, he's not setting up individuals, he's setting up places of authority. Now, certain people can occupy these places of authority. He is just over all of the authority. And he set up places of authority, just like he tells that. Remember when the disciples, they come to Jesus Christ, and I think it's who is it? James and John, I think, and their mom wants them to sit on the right hand of God. Remember that? And he says, you know, that's for my father to. I'm not going to do that. My father will figure that out, all that kind of stuff. But the point is, he does tell the 12, he tells the disciples, he talks about Abraham, and he talks about them sitting on thrones in the promised land when he returns, meaning he sets up the thrones, and he sets up the people who will occupy those thrones when he comes back. So there are thrones that he will be in charge of. Right now, he's set up thrones and authorities. The problem is they're occupied by the wrong people right now. He's not running things right now. But the idea in all of that is simply he is overseeing and he is the source of all authority. Does that make sense? Make it simple like that. He's the source of all authority. And he delegates out thrones and he delegates out his authority to people he wants to delegate it out to, and then they are responsible for what they do with that authority. All right, he set up, for instance, here's a simple one. He sets up the family structure. God set that up. That isn't something that man came up with. He set up that a husband and a wife would have children, and the husband and the wife would be the parents. The children wouldn't be the parents, right? He set that up. That's the structure of the thing. Now, the world would have it to be the opposite, where the children are the parents and the children tell the parents how things are going to go. But God set it up so that the children would have a loving environment to be grown in, to be nurtured in, to be raised in, where loving parents take care of them and guide them and direct them and help them. So the Lord sets up these structures where there is authority, there is even in government thrones, things like that. He is over all that. He is the source of authority. All right, here's another one. Verse 13. We'll deal with these a little in detail as we go through them, but I'm just trying to give you an overview of this thing. All right, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's good to know. That's good to know. Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What a great bunch of verses there. But notice, having forgiven you all trespasses. All right, so in Jesus Christ, are you forgiven completely, or is there still some stuff you need to be paying for? You're all trespasses are forgiven. You're forgiven in Jesus Christ. Now, you'll give an account of what you do with this body, but as far as your standing before God Almighty, as far as your ability to enter into the throne room of grace and find help in time of need, he has forgiven in Jesus Christ all sins, all trespasses, he says, are forgiven in Jesus Christ. There's some great verses there. It's just some really good stuff there. Notice again in 19, the all word again. It says, and not holding the head. Well, I tell you what, verse 18. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So you see the function of this thing, but you see that it's all connected to the head, and if it's not connected to the head, it's not being nourished the way it needs to be nourished. All right, so he says, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. So he's the head that nourishes the whole body. All right, a couple more here real quick. Chapter 3, look over in chapter 3 in verse 10. A couple more alls here. It says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. There you go. Christ is all and in all. Then he makes some application to that. All right, so in Christ, it's either a person is either in Christ or they're not in Christ. You're either in Jesus Christ or you're not in Jesus Christ. Look in verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So everything falls under or should fall under the name of Jesus Christ. Here's the overview. We looked at, I don't know how many of these now. We probably looked at 13 of these or 14 of these things now. But you see this word all showing up so many times, and it's describing what Jesus Christ is. And remember, to put this in context, Paul is writing to a church he hasn't met yet. And so in not meeting them, it's sort of like, all right, if I can't see you face to face and explain this to you, here's what I want to say to you in lieu of being able to see you face to face. Let me remind you of everything Jesus Christ is to you or ought to be to you. Let me remind you of everything Jesus Christ has done, who he is, what he encompasses, and let Jesus Christ be at the forefront of your mind, your thoughts, everything you do. Let it be brought under Jesus Christ. And it's kind of like if I could say anything to a church that I haven't met, let me remind you of Jesus Christ and everything he is. And so that's what Paul is going to do all through this book. He'll make a lot of application about all that stuff. But over and over, you see that word where Jesus Christ is associated with all this, all that. By him, all things are created. All things consist. Forgives all trespasses. He's all in all. Over and over. I don't know how many times the word shows up. Maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 times in this book, this little short book. But it really is a description of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Right now, in this world, Jesus Christ doesn't have the preeminence. And that's why the world looks like it looks. In the future, he will have the preeminence, and it will look a whole different way when he has the preeminence. And so individually, you might say, he doesn't really have the preeminence in my life. I've got other things going on, and you know, I can kind of fit him in here and fit him in there when I can, and things like that. And that would explain why probably a lot of our lives are the way they are. Just like the world without Jesus Christ as in the preeminence, this is the way the world looks. So there's a lot of good practical application in this. Very good book here that I think is really, really applicable to a church like ours in the time we're in, and just deals with a lot of subject matter, philosophy, and people seeing angels, and just kind of, I don't know if you'd say weird stuff, but stuff that people forget about Jesus Christ, and all these other things start taking precedence over Jesus Christ in people's lives. And so, anyway, not to go through the whole book again, but just understand what it is. It's about the preeminence of Jesus Christ, who he is, the place he occupies, the things he's done, and the fact is Jesus Christ cannot be just a teacher or a moral leader or a philosopher or any of those things. The Bible doesn't allow for that. Either he is God in the flesh, God Almighty in the flesh, the Creator, the Savior of the world, one day to rule the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or, and I don't know how you would explain the resurrection, or he's a liar,
who went around telling people he was God and told them to follow him and he didn't know what he was doing, but then you'd still have to explain the resurrection. Yeah, I don't know how you're going to do that. So I hope that's helpful to see the overview of it. We'll, like I said, we'll dig into this book on Wednesdays and deal with some more specific things, but I hope that that helps you see the theme of this and the overall point of this whole book. So we'll pray and we'll take some prayer requests now. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray it's been helpful to see these all-encompassing words describing Jesus Christ through this book, and help us to get a good grip on this and understanding of it, and particularly understanding of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for everybody that's here tonight, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.